I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The sun is shining today. I'm going all natural lighting over here because it is...
Tucker's all natural.
It is the nicest day of the year so far. It's 50 degrees. The sun's shining. I guarantee everyone who's in school right now is miserable.
Oh, they're pissed.
They're pissed.
They're mad.
Being in school on a day like this is just torture.
Oh, Tucker, by the way, I think I'm getting a call.
Oh, yeah. Are you? Are you getting a call?
Hello?
Oh, that's good, dude.
Hello?
Hello there.
Oh, hi, Tucker. How are you doing? I'm just...
I got to get one of these.
Yeah. I bet you're jealous. Audio listeners love you to death. I've got a little red phone that's a microphone.
I am jealous.
Turned into a microphone, and it's my new bit.
Ted said he's going to stream with it.
This is my funny mic because I can yell into it, and you're not going to be able to hear this, Tucker. But if like I got really pissed at a video game when I stream, because I'm a big streamer, I'd be like, "Fuck!"
Yeah, I got nothing on here.
Yeah, what? But
they heard the stream.
That person wearing the AirPods, they were like, "Come on," walking to class. They're like, "Fuck." Dude, come on.
AirPods walking to class. Today's a great day to walk to class.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I bet in Ithaca, walking to classes was miserable most of the year because Binghamton was the same way.
Oh my God, I've definitely talked about that before.
Frigid, horrible, windy.
Yeah, before we started this podcast, we were just talking about school memories. So we think that that's what we're going to talk about today.
We're going to talk about school
memories. We think we're going to talk about school memories. School memories. Just school memories across our lives. Is what we're going to be talking about today. So sit down and learn about our lore. Let's take it easy, baby.
Okay, so we were talking about...
Well, I was going to answer your question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I was going to answer your question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was miserable to answer your question. It was miserable to walk to class at Ithaca because the problem with Ithaca... Well, honestly, their selling point that they made at the school... Mm-hmm. And I bet we've got some Ithaca listeners on this pod. At least one. I think I see comments sometimes from people who are like, Ithaca alum... Because I know one of my, when I was a camp counselor, one of my past campers who was in my cabin, he was like 13 at the time when I was at Ithaca at the time over the summer. He now goes to Ithaca. And apparently I'm a little bit of a local legend there now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I probably am at Binghamton too.
They wanted me to come and speak at Ithaca at one point, but it didn't work out because I was going to be in Australia at the time. And that would have been cool. That would have been like... Because I would have been getting some of my, they would have paid me for it, so I would have gotten a little bit of my tuition back.
Wow, that would have been like full circle right there. The school pays
I'm
you.
Like, oh, now you're paying me. I paid you, now you pay me back, is sort of what I'm hoping. So I'm really hoping it happens at some point.
That would be pretty cool. That'd be like a redemption arc.
Oh, certainly. It would certainly be a redemption arc. It would be awesome. It would be so sick.
I don't think Binghamton's ever going to have me back. But that's also probably a much bigger school, I would imagine, because it's a SUNY.
Yeah, how many people?
Like 30 or 40,000 or something.
Oh, yeah. Literally, like, maybe more than four times. Like, I think Ithaca had a total of, like, 6,000 students.
Oh, no. Binghamton's big slop, dude. It's, like, big university slop. Fucking frats and shit.
Yeah, we didn't have... Yeah. Did you ever think about it?
No, dude. I was, like, 24, 25 years old. I had a wife. It's like, what?
I know, but that would be so funny.
No, I
come on, that'd be funny. Like, imagine you're 25 years old and you're joining a frat as a freshman,
Yeah,
like you're pledging, like you're pledging to a frat. Like we've got these fucking 22-year-olds that are like seniors at the time, so they're like the big dogs, and they're trying to fucking big dong an ex-Marine 25-year-old guy who's rushing their frat.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
They'd be like, "We're gonna peg you with some eggs right now. We're gonna throw some eggs at you," and you're like, "Dude, there's nothing you could do to me that would be worse than what I experienced in boot camp."
Yeah. I could never imagine at this stage in my life caring about rushing a frat. I guess if you're young,
that
though,
is something like, that like
it's like guaranteed friends. That's
it,
I think that's
certainly it is certainly guaranteed friends, and it's like this weird, especially the ones that do the hazing.
Yeah,
I think
it's
their whole
kind of
theory
like,
on it is it's like this weird. I mean, it's kind of like the same reasoning a little bit that they have in the Marines, which is like you're creating a trauma bond.
Yeah, yeah, it creates like a brotherhood. I mean, I get it.
A trauma bond.
We got different terms for the same thing.
Sure.
Some of us call that brotherhood. Some call it trauma.
Oh, well, but the thing is, in France, it's literally called the same thing.
A brotherhood?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
what a fraternity is.
That's what it is. It's just
they call each other their brothers. Well, frat brother.
Well, yeah, because it's a brotherhood. I think because you haven't been in a brotherhood, you don't understand what it's like in there.
I'm in a brotherhood. I'm in a brotherhood with you.
I haven't given you enough trauma, though. Or maybe
I don't think that doesn't need to be a requirement.
I need to fuck
opinion.
You up more. And then, or maybe somebody needs to fuck both of us up, actually. We need to get like a mutual father figure that just fucks us up.
We got to go to one of those, what are they called? We got to go to one of those manosphere boot camp things that they run for like guys who want to become CEOs.
Oh, I was thinking, have you seen the ones that are like, it's like a boot camp for, it's like a Marine Corps, like Navy SEAL type boot camp situation. It's totally like civilian private thing, though. It's for like guys.
Splashing water on
them. It's for like guys who never joined.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are like always kind of have a chip on their shoulder that they never did. Mm-hmm. It's for our mutual friend there. That's mm-hmm. who it's for.
Yeah, it's for Moses.
Let's call him what he is. But yeah, we could get a mutual person, like we could hire somebody to just kind of like fuck us up more.
Yeah, it needs to be like it needs to be some dude that like sounds the part. Like it can't be like the guy has to sound like his vocal cords have been like forever changed by how much he screams.
Yeah, that drill instructor.
Or he like
speech.
Sounds like this where he's like Jack Lynx. You know, he's got like that boy. Jack Lynx, little kitty kitty. Have you seen that video?
No, I have. You're making a reference
really?
Right now? I thought you were just saying words. Yeah.
Trucker diet, man.
I totally get that, though. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of like when you meet somebody who was in the Marines and like you do have that shared experience, it is kind of like, oh, we've got some good common ground here. But then when you meet somebody who doesn't have that, it's like, you got to earn your way in a little bit more with me.
This is the TikTok that I'm talking about in specific.
I've seen this guy online a few times. He grosses me out, man. He just seems
that
like...
That specific man?
Yeah, that trucker. This kid films this trucker all the time and like asks him questions and stuff. And he is just the epitome of... that old dude who basically makes it impossible for any young guy to get into that field because he's just so miserable to be around.
Oh, I guess it's probably pretty easy to get into the trucking field. You just need to accrue a bunch of debt.
Yeah, but what I mean is more like, and this is kind of more for like trades, is like a guy will join a trade, like he'll try to be an apprentice for like electrician or construction, whatever, but the crew is just so jaded and angry.
Mm.
That they kind of like run him off and he's like, fuck this. I can't work with these people because they're just so like angry and these old stubborn heads.
Yeah. No, and, I know what you're talking. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that guy
on a personal level.
What do you mean? You think that's me?
No, because I've worked in the trades.
Oh, for my dad?
No.
For who?
For in Griffin Electric.
Griffin Electric?
Griffin Electric. It's a part of a film set.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the closest thing on a film set that would be, well, first of all, it is considered a trade, but also it's the closest thing that you get in the film world to blue collar work. Because you're basically just like moving around stands and like loading and unloading shit the whole day.
Oh yeah, no. There's a like, lot of blue collar.
It's just basically just like it's just like physically moving just shit around. And the guy that I worked with, Nat, in New York, he was a salt dog. There was this one time we went up to, God, I forget what the name of the town was, but it was this giant fucking. I may have told you about this before, but it was this giant fucking sound stage in like central New York or something, much further than Yonkers, that's for sure.
Yonkers.
And we literally were just like, we spent like the whole day. I made like $400 that day, which was great.
Oh, that's banging money.
Yeah, it was banging money. It was awesome.
That's banging money.
I was doing fucking Craigslist work that whole summer. So it was like any job this guy could give me, I was like, fuck yeah. It was like, and even after when I left New York, it was like he would hit me up and I was like, I'd like, because he was like this salt, he was a salt dog. He was like, he had was so negative about everything. But but there was this thing where I like, I wanted to understand him. And he liked me because I was like, I took everything, you know, you'd see me on a set, I take everything very seriously. So I'm like, you know, I was doing good work, which is why Rob
Ted is very good on a set,
you know. Like it was this Craigslist job that we were working where I was just a PA, but then I would randomly help him with stuff. And he saw me helping him. He was like, after this sick, text me, you know, we'll. And so he like gave me more work, which was awesome. It felt really great. But we were up in this giant soundstage, basically breaking down these huge fucking scaffolding things that are like, I don't forget what you would really call them. But they're basically like, the outer sort of structure pillars that would set up a larger sort of overhead lighting setup.
Yeah, I got you.
Where it's like you like imagine like a square pillar, four bars, and then you've got bars intersecting each one, and then it goes up like that.
Yeah.
And so we were taking those down, and we had to go on a scissor lift.
Yeah.
All the way up to the top. And there was this one time that was really scary where we were trying to take one piece down, but then we misinterpreted the weight and we were literally 50, 70 feet in the air or whatever. And it was almost falling off this, you know, 150 pound, 200 pound thing was almost falling off the scissor lift, and we're holding onto it and we pulled it back up. And then balanced it on the scissor lift. And it was really scary in the
moment.
I don't
do heights very well these days.
It was really scary. And in that moment, it was like, we got back up and then we looked at each other. And then Nat was like, all right, that's lunch. And so we went back down and we went and we had lunch. And yeah, I was...
That's kind of where I'm at right now. That vibe of like, somebody hits you up with like work. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, I just got a job. Yeah. It's kind of like a video game right now in my life. It's kind of like, oh, shit, I just got a job. And I go,
yeah,
go
I saw this.
It.
I saw this really funny TikTok that was basically like a guy who works on set.
Yeah.
That like does G&E stuff. And then it was like this video where it was like when you find out that like that working in like Griffin Electric is like one of the trades, mm-hmm. like being on a film set is one of the trades. And it's like this song from that country guy where it's like, well, my collar's blue, but my neck is red. And he's like,
dude, red neck. That is a summer blue collar worker right there, is having a literal red neck. I guess if you're working outside,
yeah,
that's like a landscaper's neck. Today, we've been talking about college memories, and it's got me thinking about how badly I ate in college.
Guys, it was hard for me to find time to just buy groceries or meal prep, so I ended up having to get takeout. Or, God forbid, the demons at Sodexo.
I hate to even admit it, but I was getting fast food almost every day.
If only us two boys had known about Factor back then, we could have been eating and looking way healthier. Folks, I am a Factor subscriber of the last year. And this is a real thing. I am a subscriber to Factor. Every Sunday, I get my orders from Factor for the week. I love Factor. It's tasty. It's so easy. It takes like most of the meals take 2 minutes to do in the microwave. And let me tell you some more things about Factor. Or actually, Tucker, tell them about Factor.
Factor offers meals that fit your goals and your schedule. High protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads. Plus, their new Muscle Pro collection supports strength and recovery.
Personally, I do their calorie smart thing.
Calorie smart.
So I get a lot of chicken.
Speaking of chicken, Factor uses quality functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats.
Their meals have no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. None.
And all meals are always fresh, never frozen, and are ready in about 2 minutes.
I like Factor. Factor's good. I use it. I've been using it for like a year. So
head to factormeals.com/takeiteasy50 off and use code takeiteasy50 off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year.
Honestly, I wish I was getting free breakfast for a year. That's phenomenal. That's a great deal.
And you're not, because the offer is only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Make healthier eating easy with Factor. Thanks to Factor for sponsoring this episode. Now let's get back to taking it easy.
But to answer your initial question, though.
Oh, I had a question in there.
Yeah, Ithaca.
Oh.
Their whole thing was that, and I do want to talk about France again because I feel like that's a fun topic, but Ithaca, in terms of walking across the campus, their whole advertisement was like, oh, well, you could get across the whole campus pretty much on the inside because they've got these, like, a lot of the buildings are connected to each other.
And you know, it's a cold school when they're advertising that.
Yeah, like they would talk about that, and it's like, well, yeah. But like half of the buildings that they're like connected through, like you have to know the route. And it's like sometimes it's like traveling through the back rooms. Like,
yes.
Like there are buildings that are like just like there's like one class there or it's like these ancient buildings that you never would have ever entered.
Yes.
And it's like,
dude, Binghamton was the same way. It becomes a thing
where it's like nobody's like you need an extra 10 minutes to take the non-cold route. And I'm not operating with that much leeway on time for class. You know,
you are in a rush.
I'm playing PUBG up until 5 minutes before I gotta go to class.
You were playing PUBG back then. Yeah. That was like me. I was playing PUBG till the last moment. I had to like get back to the ramp to get to work.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it was one of those things where the buildings, they're lined up in a certain way where the wind from Cayuga Lake will travel up from there, and this cold, bitter, evil wind.
Yeah.
Was just, and it all centers on the tip of your nose. And it's just like that kind of cold where you're like, yeah.
Dude, the Finger Lakes have evil wind. 100%.
The Finger Lakes is like the cold. That's the coldest place I've ever lived.
It really is shitty there. I mean, it's beautiful. Here's the thing about college, too. Wait, before I say that, Binghamton had areas like that back rooms kind of thing where you'd be like trying to plan a route so you didn't have to go outside. And we had these buildings, like the original buildings from the 60s, and then there's the addition from the 70s, and then the addition from the 80s, and the addition, and they're all like technically connected, but you're going like upstairs over, and then you're going back down into the back into the building. Like you're doing a crazy route.
You're opening like 100 doors.
Yeah.
And they're like the heaviest doors that you've ever opened.
It's always like silent. There's not a soul around. You're like, am I allowed in this hallway?
It definitely sometimes it just feels like you're going to run into like some government facility. I think it was like these buildings from the 60s.
Severance. All of a sudden you see like the room full of goats.
Yeah. Like the Ithaca Library is like this crazy intense, like brutalist building. Have you seen the Ithaca Library?
No, but I bet Binghamton's is the same way. It sounds exact. It's like concrete brutalism had a fucking stranglehold on college campuses, which is crazy because college campuses. Yeah.
Look up the Ithaca College Library. This thing looks like a fucking supervillain's lair.
Yep. It's that concrete, dude. They loved that fucking concrete.
And I was talking about this last time with you, the top floor of this building, which is just kind of like the grad student research area where it's like the archives, basically. I would go all the way up there and I would do all-nighters up there.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I would go all the way up there and I would do all, well, because I had a roommate, so I couldn't go back. I couldn't just be on my computer working on a film or whatever.
Oh.
Editing a film or something.
Yeah, I guess you're doing film stuff.
Or studying, like, overnight while they're trying to sleep, like it would just be rude. So I would just go, you know, it's a 5-minute walk away. I would just go to the library and I would bring some snacks with me. I would go all the way up to the top floor and I wouldn't see a soul the whole night. I would spend the whole night up there.
College campuses. Well, that's crazy. I never pulled a single all nighter in college. Not even close. I
would say that the peak of my all nighters was probably 2022. That was the peak that I was doing it for work and stuff. But
yeah, that's post college.
After 23, after 2023, I hadn't taken an all nighter until this last video I was trying to finish. I had to all nighter to finish it.
I don't think I've ever done an all nighter. Maybe once in high school, but I'm not really these days I actually am a night owl, but that's at gunpoint. But typically, oh, yeah. I will just not do the homework if it means I have to stay up all night. I'll just not do it because I'm weighing the options there. I'm like, I would just rather get some sleep and just have to like face
the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I have found is that, like, especially with the work that I do now, is that I have found, and like people will tell you this too, like your parents will tell you this as well. And it's like, oh, don't do an all nighter. Just get the sleep. You'll do better work or whatever. And to a certain degree, that is true. But then sometimes there are only things that can be achieved by doing an all nighter, I will argue. But
wait, extra power?
No. Like, as in, like, for instance, like I needed to get that recent video out as soon as possible. It was like, I'm not done, but I'm close. I need like 6 more hours to work on this, but I need to post it in the morning and it's midnight right now. So I'm just going to work for 6 more hours. But like if I were to sleep and get that sleep that I really, really wanted at the time, then it would be exact. I wake up like the moment that I would need to be posting it. So it's just, I don't know. But in most scenarios, it's like, I'm such a fucking sleep guy these days. Like I actually went to bed last night for the first time past midnight in a long time. Like I went to bed at like 1 last night and I was like, I woke up at like 9 and I was like, God, I am behind schedule right now.
Oh, that's
because the last 2 months I've been like going to bed at like 10 or 11, waking up at like 6 or 7.
That's so nice. That's going to be
6 or 7.
I'm so ready for the snow to melt so I can transition back to the normal sleeping routine, because if you don't know, I've been working nights, so I'm on that backward schedule, throw a baby in
there.
You're
basically on a streamer schedule, to be honest.
Yeah, and what's funny is I'm watching a lot of streams. I watch streams most of the night now. Because it kind of keeps you company. And I have
like
great
infinite
service.
Entertainment.
It is kind of like infinite entertainment. Like, I see the appeal, although I still hate VTubers. If you're a VTuber, I hate you. That's my official stance. Oh, sorry. I'm being honest these days.
All right.
But what was I going to say? I had something to say. Oh, I think, you know what's funny about college campuses? It's kind of like if you let yourself, and I feel like this is easy to say in hindsight. Like, now life's hard. I have a family. I got a job. I got to, like, make ends meet. If you're, for most kids in college, like all you really have to worry about, and maybe this is a privileged opinion, but all you got to worry about is like going to class, doing your homework, and you're like getting through the semester.
Yeah.
But the campus is kind of like Hogwarts. It kind of has that magic. Like every building is open. Like if you're a film student, you can still go like explore the science library. Like, you can just, like, wander around.
But you go in there, but because you're in there so infrequently, you're like, I shouldn't be here. There's, like, this natural sort of aversion to it.
Yeah. So, when I was at Binghamton, you know, I'm kind of older there, so I felt, like, better than everybody a little bit. And so...
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. I'm sure you did, 100%.
If I was in really good shape, when I was in college, I would have been a menace. But I was fat enough to where it was keeping me. It's keeping me like
women would be hitting on you. Is that what we're saying?
I just would have been a menace. Why are you bringing women into this? I mean, sure, they're a factor, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you wish that men would be hitting on you?
I would love for anybody to hit on me. I don't understand men.
How about your wife?
Oh, I love when she hits on me. It's great. She was hitting on me earlier.
Hell yeah.
No, you know what's weird is when straight guys get all pressed about like a gay dude hitting on them, but it's like just because
gay it's a dude, wonderful compliment.
Yeah, it's a great compliment. It, you know, 2/3 of my clients for landscape are gay guys.
Well, that's the thing is too, if gay guys hitting on you, that also means that you're not really you're not a slob.
Yeah, it means you got your shit together.
Because they got high standards for you know, like the grooming and stuff. I mean, I'm sure that some get a kick out of like a slobby man or something.
I don't know. I feel like they have a reputation for just being really put together.
Yeah,
and,
they are.
And
certainly.
Yeah, no, I love them. I love them.
I love the gay community.
I love the gay community. The lesbians and I have beef, though.
Is it because of your response to my idea for a new lesbian dating app?
The Sapphire.
Dude, women love sapphires.
I've always associated women with sapphires. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. But, you know, my sister just got a sapphire as an engagement ring.
Oh, wow.
And that was his grandmother's ring.
That's cool. That's cool. I feel like people got to do that more. They got to be using cool stones instead of like diamond. That's just like basically like here's a cup of water.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's got no like.
Yeah.
I heard that it used to be more like random gemstones, but then there was like the diamond industry strangleholded the or like swayed.
Yeah, like how much cool like
because like an emerald's like, banging.
Or think about like giving like the person you love like their birthstone. That'd be sick.
Yeah, and that would actually like kind of make sense. I mean, I got Emma a 3-diamond ring and it does look really nice. And they are nice diamonds. Like a diamond is still a nice stone, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But like an emerald, a ruby, a sapphire, like those Gen 3 stones are fucking nice.
Yeah. Gotta get the Gen 3 stones.
I mean, I'll give Gen 4 some credit too. Like and diamond and pearl, those are nice.
Oh yeah, a pearl ring would be interesting.
Yeah, I think I got Emma a pearl ring too for something.
I feel like an emerald's a really solid choice.
I would love an emerald. I would love just a fat emerald's ass really emerald solid. Like that big that I could just like it'd be like a fidget toy, it'd be like a $10,000 fidget
toy. Coolest gems.
Who is gems?
No, I said look up. I looked up coolest gems.
Well, that's subjective. I just told you the Gen 3 gems are the coolest.
Okay, look at this one. Herconite.
There are some really niche ones that people don't really talk about that are cool.
Look up Herconite.
Oh, whoa. This looks like
looks like some fucking Forerunner technology right here.
Yeah, this looks like
I'm gonna put this shit on screen. Look at this Forerunner technology.
Yeah.
That would look good in a ring.
Hold on, I gotta put that in the chat for Emma. This looks like that stone in Harry Potter. That's like one of the things at the end.
The Philosopher's Stone?
Not the Philosopher's Stone, but that one in that's part
Horcrux?
Of, not a Horcrux. There's the Elder Wand, there's the Invisibility Cloak, and then there's this stone. It's like the Stone of Eternal Life or something.
Immortality or something?
Yeah, it's one of those three from that like old...
Yeah.
But that's what it looks like. That thing doesn't even look real.
Yeah, that would go well in a fucking ring.
Yeah, no, that'd be...
Aquamarine would be pretty cool.
Turquoise is cool, too. That's not even a gem. It's just a rock.
Or, like, imagine getting, like, a little tiny mini fossil.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's almost kind of fucked up, but, like, in a cool way.
Opal?
Oh, dude, you know what? If you ever really get rich, and I'm talking, like, stinking. If you ever get stinking, you should have, and this would guarantee you at least one visit from me.
Okay.
You have, you obviously have like your Spanish manor on, up in the hills of LA or something.
Oh, I don't want to be in the hills.
Yeah, they'll burn down. Okay, in the lowlands.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the lowlands.
I want surrounded by a bunch of fucking.
You need like a lobby, and you got to have some kind of like complete skeleton.
Man, that is like crazy level rich that you're talking about right now. First of all, lobby is crazy. like imagine I have a home with a lobby and there's like a receptionist there.
That'd be badass. It'd be badass.
Yeah. And that's the true home office right there. Yeah. It just becomes an office, like a real office, and there's just the sounds of phones ringing in, like people are walking around with papers and shit. And
it's like just hire people to like just, keep it looking
they're just
busy.
Hired to give that aesthetic of like a busy 80s office or something.
But you got to have a full skeleton in there, like a full elephant skeleton or something like that.
Oh, dude, I thought we were talking dinosaur.
You could.
I think I was thinking richer than you were even thinking.
Well, that I was originally that was where my mind was, but I was like, that doesn't feel like
I
your
think that
brand.
There is
enough.
A private owner of like.
I feel like an elephant would be more akin to like your brand.
There's like the only Stegosaurus. Yeah, this was happened last year. So near complete Stegosaurus fossil sells for record $44 million at auction.
Worth it.
The skeleton touted as the best preserved of all time was discovered on private land in Colorado in 2022. And it was sold. I think it was sold to like a private. Yeah. Yeah. The Sotheby's did not disclose the buyer's identity, but the Wall Street later reported that it was billionaire Kenneth Griffin, CEO of the hedge fund Citadel, which sounds like a really evil company.
Oh, almost certainly is.
He's worth almost $50 billion. And the guy's got a fucking, he's from Daytona Beach. He went to Harvard and Boca Raton High School.
If I was a fucking billionaire, and I'm going to say this for anyone who wants to Venmo me, I would be the most honorable goddamn billionaire. I would just be taking care of this place. Write it down.
Some people say that the most honorable billionaire isn't even a billionaire.
Yeah, but like that's just a kind of a logical fallacy right there. I would be buying up all the fucking land. Every piece for sale would be mine. And I would just turn it into like a nature conservancy. That's
Is
what
it
I
like
would.
People can, would it be? Would
yeah,
it
it'd be public access. Yeah, it'd be public access. It would be like managed by or like it would just be as if it's state land, but it would be in like my trust. Like I would still be at the top, but I'm not going to develop it. I'm not, honestly, if there's developments on it, I'm going to tear them down.
It's one of those things where you certainly can't give it to the government because now the government can't be trusted to not get like sell off.
Oh, definitely. It's not going to the government. It would be put in like a infinite trust or something where it's just like locked in this like kind of half private. It's like a private owned but public access situation. There's actually a few around me and I love them. And
that's
what I would do.
The most annoying thing about governments is that they'll always figure out some reason to break it, though, because they can.
Yeah, I was.
Even if it's an infinite trust, they'll just be like fucking whatever that manifest destiny or whatever that fucking rule is, where if they want to build a highway where your house is, they'll be like, here's market price of your house and you have to leave.
Yeah, no, it is really fucked up. The government can just be like, well, we have more guns than you and we have people who are loyal enough to just like jail you if you don't get out of the way.
Man, laws are threats of violence by the ruling class.
They really are. No, that's kind of the theme of today. But the people don't want
that's
us to
the go- theme of today. Laws are threats of violence by the ruling class.
Honestly, yeah, they are. I've been feeling pretty anarchy based lately, and I think a lot of people have.
Well, because that's all a law is, really. Because it's like, oh, you break the law, what happens? Oh, cop comes,
which
and they
is just
have
a
to
government
arrest you.
Agent.
But what if you don't? What if you don't want to get arrested? Well, they force you to. Boom, violence.
Yeah, they either they will like literally force you to, and if you resist hard enough, they will kill you.
Yeah,
and they're paid to do it. No, if you really
and
start,
and they're paid to do it. Some people aren't even paid to do it, like our good friend Jeremy DeWitt.
No, he's just out there for the sport of it.
He's just out there. He's out there just committed to the threats.
Dude, Jeremy DeWitt is such a pure soul, man. He just loves the thrill of it.
Oh, there's nothing pure about his soul. I think he's like.
No, he
I
got
think
arrested.
He's like a convicted
or something.
Pedophile or something, or like.
Shit! Really?
No. Maybe not pedophile. I think it was like a sexual assault or something. Though.
But that's getting dark. I think that college campus is like Hogwarts if you let yourself wander. Because Emma, this fucking drives me nuts. I'm about to take a dump on your chest. Emma was at Binghamton University for 6 years.
I'm about to pull my trousers down to get shit on your chest.
Emma was at Binghamton University for 6 years because she did undergrad and grad school there. Mm-hmm. She never went to the fucking greenhouse. The greenhouse at Binghamton. If you go to Binghamton University, go to the fucking greenhouse. It's awesome. It's monstrous. Yeah. It's like a museum of plants. It's three times the size of my fucking house. And she never went there. It was like 100 yards away. She's like, I just...
That's diabolical.
Because she was a music track, she only ever went to the music building or like the lecture hall a couple times for like gen ed.
Did she not have to do like general ed stuff?
She did, but often they throw those in the classrooms in the music building as well. So she was going to like two buildings for 6 years.
That's wild.
It is.
6 years. I can't imagine being in school for an extra 2 years. That's wild.
I only did I did my degree in 3 years, and I did one school for 1 year and one school for 2 years, and I was like, fuck this. Get me out of here. So
yeah, I mean, you were already ready to be done. Cause like,
I was older, so like, I was like, this is just preventing me from living. Although it really wasn't.
Takes up a lot of your time. I mean, it makes sense why it's like that specific age range is who usually goes to school is because like.
Yeah, I mean, that's why like Arizona State and like Southern New Hampshire University are for like kind of like adults. Like you do them online when you can. And you kind of like, you know, those people make.
There is something nice about going to a lecture hall, though, you know.
There is.
If you like the class.
Even if you don't. All that, if you like the class, great. That's a bonus. If you don't, but it's like, you know, the vibe's decent. It's kind of cozy. Like, let me paint you a picture. It's like, you got flurries in the air. It's a fall. You got like a 2 hour lecture in like a three. Well, you probably didn't have too many of these, but like 300-400 person lecture hall. It's full.
Yeah, we never had anything like that. I think the most people there was like maybe 50 like, in a room, and that felt big.
Oh, yeah, no, we'd have like 300-400 people.
Maybe 100. Maybe 100.
You go in there, you know you're not going to learn a goddamn thing, and so you just kind of kick your feet up. You've got your Java monster, going to hop on Discord, you know, talk to the guys.
Oh, dude, the laptop is like such a remarkable thing in college. Like the amount of YouTube work I got done in class.
Probably more than you get done now, dude, because you got like structured time where it's like, almost like, want to be
brainstorming,
productive.
I would just like brainstorm for YouTube videos in my classes and stuff. And like, I mean, dude, I'll tell you what. Remember, there's this thing that you've talked about occasionally where sometimes you'll have like a bad dream that you woke up and that you're in the Marines again or you're at boot camp and then you're like not supposed, and you're like trying to tell people that you're not supposed to be there, but they're not listening to you or whatever.
Yeah, they're
or
like, get the fuck back in line, recruit. I'm like,
or you
dude,
wake
I'm
up
a sergeant.
Sometimes on a and you wake up sometimes on like a Saturday or something and you think that you're late for fucking, I don't know, like colors or whatever.
that didn't make any sense, but that's funny.
Is it
colors is just something that happens when they raise the flag,
when they're changing the flag. Yeah,
it's every morning at like, I think it's every morning at 8 a.m.
I was thinking of what the actual term was, but colors was the first thing that came to my mind. Like you're just late for PT or like you're late for showing being in the bay. In like the
you're just like
tank
throwing out terms and like they're kind of right. It's just funny.
Well, no, you had to.
You know,
you,
a lot
you
of
had
terms.
To show up at a certain time to the bay, whatever that was,
the ramp
where they worked on the tanks, the ramp.
Yeah, the ramp, the rear
and
access.
Then that, and then once everyone
pad.
Was there, then you go and do the thing. But everyone had to be there at the beginning. Am I wrong? Sorry, I got the word wrong, and
no,
it wasn't the ramp.
I'm
it was,
commending
it was the bay,
you
it was
for
the...
knowing so much terminology.
Thank
obviously, you.
You
don't know like the specifics. You didn't live it. But you know, like the terms.
Oh, yeah. No, like literally, you have to understand that a lot of this was received verbally through you. So I have an entire story of your experience in the Marines that exists completely constructed in my mind with the pieces of memory that that I have from only visiting 29 Palms once.
Oh, yeah. You only did visit once. Well, we like swap places.
But I can kind of gather some stuff from that Oh, if we're talking heaviest doors that we've ever...
Oh, you think 29 we've ever interacted
with, the fucking doors to the rooms in the barracks was the heaviest door I've ever interacted with.
If they weren't that heavy duty, the Marines would break them. 100%. Because Marines are always kicking those things.
Those things are made of like medieval iron.
Yeah, and that's a brand new barracks too when you were there. That was only like 2 years old. Yeah. I was the first tenant in some of those rooms, which was awesome. I was really lucky.
Yeah.
We were in like the nice barracks. Some of those were like a dirty motel from the 60s.
My equivalent, basically, though, of that dream that you would have.
Oh, yeah. The stress
is sometimes dream. I'll have a dream or I'll wake up one day. I'll sometimes have a dream or some sort of like mid wake up thing where I construct the scenario in my head where there is a class that I did not realize I was enrolled in, but it was one of those classes you don't really need to show up to. Yeah. And I've been missing the homeworks or like the online homeworks that you need to do to get a good grade in the class or whatever. And like, I'm screwed.
Mm. That sucks. That's a horrible dream.
Yeah.
So the one dream I have frequently, like every few months, is like, for some reason I'm back at boot camp and like, I wanted to join back up, but they started me at the bottom again. And I get like trapped and I'm like 2 days in and I'm like, oh fuck, dude. Like, I don't want to do this. This was a big mistake, which I never felt at boot camp the first time. I was always like, no, I'm here for a reason. I want to do this. But it's like, oh shit. I am stuck. Cause you can't just quit, like, or you're going to screw your like record up for your life. Like you took an oath, so it's like very complicated. Or the other stress dream is like, I've been smoking weed for years, and then all of a sudden I take a piss test, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh fuck, I'm gonna fail,
yeah,
and I'm gonna get kicked out. But it's like
your transition from being a Marine into trying weed for the first time was like,
well, dude,
the momentous change in your life, you know. Because it was very much so like you did not fuck with drugs at all when you're in the Marines. It was like, I still don't
fuck with drugs. Let's just say that.
Hard drugs, soft drugs. Tucker didn't like any of them.
I'll smoke some pot.
But then
here and there.
He gets out of the Marines. It's like I'm fucking. It's like all of a sudden Tucker's not from Massachusetts. He's back to Massachusetts. He's from fucking Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's all I got to say.
God, you're making it sound like
he's from fucking Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's like one of those. He's a fucking desert crazy dude. He's fucking walking down the highway with fucking flip flops, one missing, and a fucking shopping cart full of fucking paraphernalia he found on the side of the road.
That's a 29 Palm special right there, dude. There's probably at this very moment, you know, fucking 10 people within a 10-mile radius of 29 Palm's base doing just that.
Yeah, you see Tucker in 20. You see Tucker after he gets out of the Marines in 2021. He it'd be like you're driving down the fucking road in L.A. or any sort of city, and you just see that one guy that everyone's kind of like giving a little bit of distance for, and he's just yelling at nothing.
Yeah, yeah. There was a few times that I was legitimately scared, from some people like that out in town, in the desert. They were having like a fucking mental breakdown right next to me. They're on a different plane of existence in their head. They were freaky. That's something I don't miss.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have any of those where I live now. Binghamton had a handful.
There was a guy that I hadn't seen in a while that I met up with for dinner the other day. And he was telling me about the first time that the first and only time that he's ever tried DMT.
Oh, I've heard tales of this.
And that seems like his description of it was interesting because it was almost like what I imagine you would have said if you experienced it.
Oh, really?
So basically, if you guys don't know what DMT is, it's like it's basically, I'll just read what the Google says. It's a serotonergic psychedelic compound found naturally in many plants and animals, often used for intense, short-acting hallucinogenic experiences and ritual purposes. Causes vivid visual hallucinations, altered perception, and ego dissolution. And so it's like something that you can like you can only get it from like taking it out of a certain part of like an animal's brain. I don't know how like people get as much DMT as they find, but like,
oh wait, when he was explaining, you have to harvest it from a brain.
It's found in many plants and animals, so maybe they find it from plants.
Definitely, but, dude. That's got to be way easier than the animal's brain.
I think they're killing, dude. I think that they're getting it from the fucking factory farms for pigs and stuff. I think they're just like, that's after they do all the stuff. They take it. They put a little syringe in and they're taking the DMT out.
They're giving it to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, and they're giving it to Joe Rogan. That's why he fucking looks like that, dude. He's got that pig skin.
Oh, that's the funniest thing you've said in a while. That's why he looks like that. That's funny. Well, I've never tried it.
So basically the way he described it was he was already a little bit drunk at the time. And then his buddy was like, hey, do you want to try DMT? Or whatever, and it comes in the form of like almost like a vape pen or something. He like wasn't sure.
Whoa,
he was
really?
Just like, oh. He was just like, oh, fuck it. And he took a hit, and then he blew out, and he was like, whew. And then everything was fine at first, but then like the way he described it was that one of his buddies was talking, and he was like, imagine this, like he's saying the sentence that he's saying at the time. So imagine it's like, hey man, did you forget that guy? And then the last thing that he was just saying, like the last maybe few frames of what he was saying, started repeating over and over again. And then it started turning into like this fucking tunnel thing that he fell into. And remember, and so this only lasts for a minute, but how he described it is that like time doesn't work the same way in there. So it was a situation where once you're personally done with it, you can leave.
Whoa.
Which is a weird way to describe
it. No, I know what you mean. I'm really afraid of that stuff.
And so he like falls into this fucking kind of like tunnel thing. There's like these kind of like color stuff going on. And his whole thing with it when he talked about it was that he felt like different than any sort of other drug that he's ever done, like weed or whatever the fuck. Like this was like the only time, like even like having done mushrooms and stuff, this was the only time that he felt like he was outside.
Let me just take your time.
I'm trying to remember like how he described it. He was basically like, he was experiencing something that everything that he's ever experienced up till this point, it was unlike. So nothing that you've ever experienced could prepare you for, like you can't even imagine what it would feel like.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing that, his theory was that it existed outside of what our reality is. Like he felt like he literally experienced a different dimension in a very legitimate, like he actually believed it. And after the experience, like he was very, very confident in talking about it. He was like, this experience is what made me believe that like there is something after death.
Yep. I have heard this story from a lot of different people on the internet, and I think that my brain or my soul or whatever
I think that would kill you
is incredibly susceptible to that, because
I think that would really, that you would experience like three time level ego death.
Because when I first started engaging in the illusion, and part of the reason I call it the illusion is because it makes like our current reality feel like an illusion. And when I first started doing it, it's like my whole brain gets on a plane of existence. I mean, that makes it sound so dramatic, but it's like nothing feels the same. It's like I'm a different person experiencing it. And there are times that I've gone like a little too hard, maybe not, but it's like I am tripping out. Like, it's like it's kind of like I'm experiencing that. I'm sure it's a lot less than DMT, but it's, I feel like I can feel a different world, or like it's super weird. So I don't know. From, and some people smoke weed all the time and they just like have fun.
But dude, like, I mean, there's certainly different levels that you can get with weed. I know from experience,
like
that, like you can go really, really. I think that was the advantage of going. The advantage of my 400 milligram edible experience was that I think after having that happen to me, weed sort of became a pretty non-consequential drug.
It certainly hits hard. Like, the more you do it, the more you can get numb to it and be able to.
Well, more like, I think it was more like, because obviously, like, I don't smoke a lot. I haven't smoked in months and months and months.
Yeah, you're pretty clean these days.
Yeah, I just don't. Well, because it fucks with my ADHD meds. So it's like, if I do it, I have to like know I'm not working for a period. Otherwise, it's really hard for me to get back into it.
Oh, yeah. No, I get dumb on it.
Yeah.
For like 2 days, I'm like dumb.
Yeah, it makes me, it doesn't help me. Like,
it's not a productive
helps. Habit. Some people say it helps them sleep. I don't agree with that at all. I feel like that makes it, I feel like it lowers the quality of my sleep. It makes me sleep longer. And also, I feel a little rotten the day after. Like, to say that it helps you sleep is, I mean, I'm sure it works for some people, but like for me, that like,
I agree. It helps me like fall asleep, but the quality of my sleep is horrible. So,
yeah. For people with insomnia, maybe it's very helpful in that regard.
But I'm always like, I'm in like an active dream state as I fall asleep on it. It's almost like a hallucination into sleep. It's like my dream starts before I've fallen asleep, if that makes
sense. Yeah, and one, the thing is too, is that if you're smoking a lot of weed, you don't dream.
Yeah. I
feel
like, if
you're sleeping frequently, you stop getting dreams.
I had some crazy dreams last night. This woman
was trying to seduce me. You haven't been in the illusion lately.
No, I haven't. I don't really do it very often.
Can't be operating that machinery on the illusion, that's for sure. That's fully illegal.
Oh, a lot of the guys are, though.
I'm sure. I mean,
they're ski bums. They can't help it. Yeah. They're fucking coming out of Vermont and Colorado.
Yeah, no, that is the fucking capital of it all.
Having a kid, it's like, I can't. It's like, it feels too, like, it feels shameful. I mean,
oh, dude, totally. I mean, I don't think that my dad smoked weed for 20 years.
Oh, my dad was smoking all the time when I was a kid.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I remember the moment in my life when it clicked that I had been smelling weed my whole life. Like,
that's awesome.
Like,
you've never told me this before. I've never heard this.
Yeah, like growing up, my dad and my uncle and stuff always had like this musk. It's kind of like the smell of your hands after you've smoked a joint. Like, they just have like that nice, like, it's very distinct. It's a very distinct smell. I like that smell. And I just assume like that's just what they smell like. Maybe it's them working or something. I don't know. Like, you don't think about it as a kid because you don't realize that was just the baseline. But then. Yeah. I remember I'm smoking with Derek very early on in my career, and I rub my face, I smell my hands, and I was like, oh my God.
While you were in the illusion.
Yeah, I was like.
So it was like an illusion activated memory thing. That's cool.
I was like, this is what everyone smelled like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And because smells are weird like that too, you know, they kind of like trip you up sometimes. I smelled that, and it was like, holy shit, dude. My dad was definitely smoking a lot of fucking weed when I was a kid.
Sometimes you'll just get hit by like a smell memory. Like when I was editing my video recently, it was this very nice period of time in LA where it was 85 degrees out, but it wasn't dry 85. It was slightly humid in a way that was identical to a Massachusetts summer.
Yeah.
Like a perfect Massachusetts summer day. Like not 85 Massachusetts, that would be too hot, but like it was
yeah,
it
that's a hot day
reached
here.
The equivalent. It would reach the equivalent like heat and enjoyment of like a day in Massachusetts on like May 15th.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I have the window in my bathroom open and the window here open so I can get an airflow through.
Yeah.
So I'd occasionally get this beautiful smell of fresh, warm oranges. Springy air.
You got that orange tree right outside your window.
Yeah, true. And I would smell that. And it's like when you get a whiff of something like that while you're working or something, or just like anything really, it's like it's like incredibly motivating in a weird way.
Yeah.
Where it's like you are filled with like this collective motivation of the future that is represented by spring all at once.
Yeah. No, it's so that a smell can really do you in good.
I love smells. If I was blind in my nose, I'd be really upset.
That's always the scent, the what is it called? The sense that I would get rid of. If I had to get rid of a sense for some reason, I'd get rid of smell.
Really? Is it because your nose is fogged all the time, so you feel like you can't interact with it as much?
I'm not going to get rid of taste.
I like how like you got offended there, but it's because there's a hint of truth to that.
There is a hint. I do have pretty bad allergies.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah, not looking forward to that. This room was just... I'm surrounded by Norway maples. And once that like early May, it's just like, ba-boom, yellow. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that shit, that is like such a classic Massachusetts thing. It's just because you don't see that too often in LA. It's just like that coating of yellow on cars and stuff.
Yeah, we
That's
get
what
it.
I gotta do. From, I gotta do that like today or tomorrow. I gotta wash my car.
Well, I believe the oak trees do it. Some of the maples do it.
And weren't you saying that there was something about it was because they only planted in like a lot of the landscaping around cities and stuff? They only planted female trees.
Male trees release the pollen.
Oh, so there's male trees because they didn't want like a bunch of shit falling from the female trees or something.
Well, yeah, because the female trees will drop fruit or seeds or whatever it is. Yeah, there is some areas in New York where it's like one or the other. They only planted one sex of the species or something. But the problem here is the Norway maples in my local community, which are invasive. They're not indigenous and they suck.
It is so funny for a tree to be invasive, you know, because that takes a long time. It takes a long time for a tree to grow. And so it's like you have to let that invade that's a long invasion timeline.
Well, the thing is, we were aiding the invasion because we were planting them ornamentally. We were like, oh, they grow really like picturesque if you let them just like alone in a yard. So then you do that on 10 houses, and then all of a sudden, boom, like there's those propeller seeds everywhere. And like,
oh, those are, so the propeller seeds are from an invasive species.
Well, a lot of maples use different types of propellers, but yeah, the Norways have a very distinct one. So then those are just getting scattered by the wind. And then every property line that like people don't really maintain, they're like sprouting up, and then it multiplies pretty fast. But yeah, wow. It is funny with trees because you think like, oh, it takes 50 years for this tree to grow. But yeah. Norway, I mean, I could go on about, I've done multiple presentations on Norway's. Like they grow a lot faster. They grow in shade. They'll grow a lot faster than the sugar maple, which is kind of what they're displacing. Yeah, they're a real pain.
I often tell people about the American chestnut.
Yeah, the American chestnut.
It feels like it's important to let people know that there's something like intrinsic to our environment that we've lost.
Especially as like an East Coaster, like or an Appalachia kind of person, it's like there's a core piece of our like life.
Like
missing.
That's something that we could have. Oh, do you know what's a very ooh? I know what I would, if I were to make a candle, I know what I would make as a smell.
What? American roasted chestnut?
No, Concord grapes.
Concord grapes. That's a good one. But
did you not have those around your area? There were like those Concord grapes growing like in the summers on my street from like the trees and stuff. Like
those grape vines?
Yeah, there'd be Concord grapes growing off them. That's why they're called Concord grapes.
Yeah, it's an indigenous vine. We didn't have a lot around me when I was growing up. I mean, I see them all the time now.
There's one particular area that I'm visualizing
on your street
in my head of where they were that I could smell them. And like they weren't like everywhere. It was like one particular spot where I was like, what is that? And then I was like, the grapes. And then I really wanted to be able to reach them and eat them. But they were too high up.
They probably aren't as sweet or anything as... As like farm,
they use
grapes.
Them to make wine.
Hmm. I would try them. That'd be kind of a fun thing to grow. They're kind of ugly.
They're certainly
though,
not gonna. The they're vines. Certainly well. The yeah. I mean, they're also like a deep purple. You know, they're not. They honestly. Oh well. I mean, if you look up a picture, of Concord grapes, I mean, that is a beautiful looking grape. That is like the kind of grape that you feel like you should make into wine.
You're really compelled. Yeah, those do look perfect. That's they look like blueberries color. Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a key part of the ecosystem. In
wow, major growing areas are the Finger Lakes Region District of New York, the Lake Erie Viticultural Area, areas around Lake Ontario, southwestern Michigan, and the Kima Valley in Washington.
The Finger Lakes in the summer have, in like late summer especially, beautiful vineyards. When we were in Binghamton, we did some wine tastings up there, and oh my gosh, it's in between two of the lakes. There's an amazing row of vineyards. And it's just like beautiful winery after winery.
Dude.
What?
I thought it wasn't. It's not indigenous.
The Concord grape?
It's not indigenous, but they can be found growing wild. It was developed in 1849 by Ephraim Wales Bull in Concord. He planted seeds from wild Vitis labrusca.
Oh, okay. So
and evaluated it's over 22,000 seedlings, including hybrid cross with Vitis vinifera, before finding what he considered to be the ideal Concord grape.
So he kind of curated the flavor, because they. Okay, I'm okay with that. That'll do.
Oh, interesting. Well, now hold on. So. Parts of what the Concord grape comes from is probably the species that was seen by Leif Erikson growing wild along the coast of Vinland in the 11th century. So it's a North American grape.
Yeah, we have wild grapes that are native.
Well, I know that. I'm just like trying to figure out what his parents are. Oh,
Vitis
and then vinifera is from the Mediterranean region though. So it's like a cross between. But
what's always trippy is when you have to remember that potatoes and tomatoes aren't indigenous to Europe, but we associate them so closely with like Italian food and.
Well, yeah,
Irish
it is weird
food.
How tomatoes are indigenous to
the Americas.
North America.
Yeah, same with potatoes. Like, Irish were only eating potatoes for like a few hundred years, but people associate them so strongly together. Why'd they stop what eating them? I think everybody just eats potatoes now.
Yeah, but why did the Irish stop eating potatoes now? I just wonder. Like,
oh, they started fucking dying, bro.
I'm joking.
You shouldn't joke about
that. Irish potato famine. I shouldn't joke about that?
No. No.
Yeah?
They still haven't recovered.
Listen, man.
I think a lot of
Keens
probably.
I'm Irish. I can do that shit. I'm Irish. I can do that shit, okay?
Nah, you shouldn't disrespect our culture like that.
What are you talking? Have you even been to Ireland? Have you even visited the homeland? The motherland?
I don't have enough money.
It's not about money. This is just about respect to the motherland, man.
I would go. Emma's went. My family went. I was serving our great nation at the time, so I couldn't go.
Why didn't they station you in Ireland?
I wonder if we have any troops in Ireland. I mean, like, I'm sure we have an embassy, but probably not.
I feel like it's unlikely. I think it's not big enough. We definitely probably have something in the UK, but I don't think that we have anything in Ireland.
Actually, we might not, because we have a huge base in Germany, like a huge base. So that kind of might be like our hub over there.
Are there American military bases in Ireland? No, there are no permanent U.S. military bases in the Republic of Ireland, as the country maintains a policy of military neutrality. The U.S. military does, however, use Shannon Airport for refueling and troop transit, which has caused controversy regarding Irish neutrality. Historically, U.S. naval air stations existed in Ireland during World War I and World War II.
Ted, I hate to be the one to say it, but we have to move to the Patreon.
We do.
I usually let you disappoint
There's
people.
13 military bases in the U.K.
Wow. Well, but here's the thing. 13 bases in the UK? Like, what are we considering a base? You know, like, that seems to be...
Hosting around 11,000 American personnel.
Wow, that's way too many. What are they doing there?
That's a lot. That's a lot, dude. That's a shit ton of people. That's like literally like about half the size of our town when we were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, that's only like, I think 29 Palms had like 30,000 or something. But that also, okay, that seems really high. I don't know. No, we couldn't have had 30,000. Maybe we had 30,000 people, but we didn't have...
There's over 35,000 in Germany.
Yeah, no, it's a monstrous base. Germany
is... Which one
is,
are you thinking of? Ramstein Air Base?
Oh, I don't know the names of them. I just know,
it's
like...
It's the largest U.S. air base in Europe and a central hub for global operations. That sounds like it would be. Or there's USAG Stuttgart.
You always hear about Germany whenever you're reading about military logistics. Like, especially during, like, the Iraq War, it was always, like, fly to Germany, fly to Kuwait. Fly to Germany, fly to America. Like, that was the middle point.
Why? Are we just, like, really tight with them?
Yeah, we're really tight with Germany.
I remember that we weren't at one point.
We bombed the fuck out of them. Any country we bomb the fuck out of, we are really tight with.
The title
afterwards
of it on Google is Amerikanische Luftwaffenbasis Rheinstein.
I don't think you're allowed to say half of that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt wrong coming out of my mouth.
German is just is an ugly language. So is Russian. I'll say it.
A lot of, like, big parts of our language come from...
Ah!
All right, we're going to the Patreon now, guys. So see you later.
See you guys.